Hello, I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley.
And I'm her daughter, Dr. Heidi Horsley.
Heidi and I want to welcome you to Open to Hope Conversations, the podcast.
We believe that the greatest gift you can give yourself after a loss is hope, using this moment to connect with others who have not only survived, but thrived.
So let's get started. Welcome to the Open to Hope Show. I'm your host, Dr. Gloria Horsley, with my daughter and co-host,
Dr. Heidi Horsley.
These shows are brought to you by the Open to Hope Foundation. Well, Heidi, we have got an important topic today. I mean, really important, because we're going to be talking about dealing with accidental drug overdose, but just drug overdose and what it does to families in general.
Absolutely, Mom. And this is a crisis in our country, and it continues to be. And it's just getting worse and worse and worse. It's such a concern for all of us out there. So we're going to talk today with an expert who is an expert professionally and personally. And I love the idea of having one foot in both, because I think it gives you really a unique perspective. Dr. Ann Schiebert, in 2008, at the age of 38, her son Michael died of an accidental overdose. During the 20 years between discovering her son's drug addiction and his eventual death, she went on to graduate school and learned about addiction, family dynamics, and codependency, because she wanted to understand her role in her own son's disease. And I love that she went on to study this. So welcome to the show, Dr. Ann Schiebert, and we'll call you Ann if that's okay.
Please do. Thank you. It's an honor to be with you.
Welcome.
It's great to have you on the show today, because it's so important to hear the voice of somebody who's been through this, yes, who's written about it, who's thought about it, who's trained with it, because I know there are so many people out that are hurting and wondering, what did I do? How could I have stopped it? You know, was I enough? So tell us about your journey.
Well, I discovered that my son was dabbling in drugs. Mm-hmm. He was 17 years old, and he locked me and his sister in the car and threatened to kill us with a hammer.
Wow.
So my other son came out into the driveway and sort of rescued us, and I sent my daughter running into the house to call the police. Mm-hmm. And as my son was about to escape, the police arrived, and then they said a really hurtful thing to me. They said, "Are you a single mother?" I said, "Yes." And they said, "Well, I think you need to do a little discipline here."
Wow.
Yes, that's what I said to myself. But at the time, I was so shocked by what was going on. So my son was taken to juvenile hall, spent his 18th birthday in juvenile hall, and I took him a Big Mac for his birthday. That's not how we usually celebrated life milestone birthdays. And went on to marry a fellow drug addict, and my parents rescued him, which is huge. He was court ordered to residential care in Oakland, California. He went through that for 30 days. He graduated, and he came home on a contract. Mm-hmm. The contract said, if you relapse, then you get kicked out of the house, your choice, and then you have to have 30 days clean and sober to come back into your house. So my parents, being the good codependents they were, sabotaged his recovery and took him in and didn't tell me. And honestly, that was so painful. That was the biggest insult to being a parent that grandparents could ever do, to think that they know better. Mm-hmm. And from there, Michael didn't get better. He married a fellow addict and had two autistic children. Died from a methadone overdose when he was 38. Mm. That was just a shock, even though it wasn't a shock. Mm-hmm. And dealing with this, I was always one to get my kids to therapy if I thought they needed it, but I couldn't find anybody who'd had much experience, and it seemed like it was all intellectual, like do this, do that.
How the heck have you done it? I want to know.
Okay, well, it was a long journey, and I went back to graduate school and got a doctorate in chemical dependency and other things. I have written my books to maybe mentor parents who have no clue what to do, like me.
I like this, Ann. So what would you have done differently? And I know a lot of this is in your book.
I would have structured my children's life. Now, I did some way. They went to tennis. They went to swimming. They played golf.
Potter's a freaking little rock star. Now, come on. Come on, when does Michael take responsibility for Michael?
And also, what about the genetic piece? Aren't some people more prone to be addicts? I don't know.
Absolutely, they're more prone. But I don't know. Let's see. My ex-husband's, who's deceased, family had alcoholics in it. But when you come from a family that doesn't deal with that, you have to be really empathic with folks who are going through this. It's such a painful journey. As I said, we have to be realistic. I did as best as I could with what I knew at the time. I have a whole new, very successful career that I've had for 20 years because of my son. I never, ever would have done that, and I never would have been able to help the folks that I've been able to help along the way.
I had another question for you. For the people out there that say, look, we're afraid if we don't rescue them, they're going to end up homeless or they're going to take their lives. What would you say to those people out there that are terrified about these things? And that's why they're codependent.
Well, I teach codependency. So
here's
what I would like to say to them.
Okay.
If you keep rescuing them, you are enabling them to get sicker. Mm. Every addict loves a good codependent because they make the disease easier. So I would say they're going to die one way or another. Addicts die one way or another. Mm-hmm. I don't want to help them die, and I don't want them at my house when they're 50. I would have disabled them then. So we sort of have to get a lot of support and just go through it emotionally.
You were talking about some of the treatments you're doing, like brain spotting. What are you doing?
Well, it's my theory that behind every addiction is a trauma. The trauma lights up what is called the sympathetic nervous system. And the sympathetic nervous system does not have words to it. It has feelings. It's the fight, flight, fear part of every mammal. And unless we can get that under control, it will drive your bus. It will ruin your life. It will keep you using because you're so afraid of some unknown, unspoken thing.
What are the books that you've done?
Oh, I've done Let's Make a Contract, Getting Your Teen Through Substance Abuse. And I've done Getting Your Teen Through High School and Beyond and Getting Your Teen Past the Opioid Crisis. And then I did one for adults. A lot of my patients get into these relationships, men and women, that are just not happy and they stay there. So the next book I wrote was Getting Through Difficult Romantic Relationships. And this chapter in that is about how to have a long-term romantic relationship that's happy.
All right. So where do people find your books and where do they find you?
They can go to my website, drannschiebert.com. They can go to Amazon or Barnes & Noble. I'm out there. And I've had a lot of wonderful feedback about how the contracts in my books help.
Well, Anne, thank you so much for being on the show today. I love everything you're doing. And as you said, I love that you said that you wouldn't be doing it all without Michael.
I wouldn't. Thank you so much for having me. It's been a pleasure.
I agree, Anne, with what my mother has said. And I really appreciate your honesty. You are very candid and honest because this is a crisis and it's growing every day. And you and Michael are saving many, many lives. So thank you.
Yes, you're so welcome. Thank you.
We thank everybody for watching this show today, and we want to remind you, if you've lost hope, please lean on ours until you find your own, and God bless.
I'm Dr. Heidi Horsley. You have been listening to Open to Hope, the podcast. You can follow Open to Hope on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. To learn more, visit us at opentohope.com and go to Apple Podcasts to subscribe.
I'm Dr. Gloria Horsley. Join us again next week for another Open to Hope conversation, where we invite you to lean on our hope until you find your own.